It's great to be back to see all of you today, and we're going to get right to the message this morning. It's a unique message. It's our vision message. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but certainly we need to celebrate. How many of you are thankful that you gave something away this last holiday season? Amen? It's great to be a part of that. We're going to talk about that. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Matthew 5, although I'll just quote it for you. You probably know the verse. Take your outline out, if you will, because to follow along today will be advantageous for us all. Matthew 5, Jesus said the following, verse 13, "You are the salt," say it with me, "of the earth." You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. It's a founding statement of one of our oldest, most prestigious universities, and it went like this, quote, "After God had carried us safe to New England and reared convenient, we had built our houses, provided necessaries for our livelihood, reared convenient places for God's worship, and led the civil government, one of the next things we longed for and looked after was to advance learning and perpetuate it to posterity, dreading to leave an illiterate ministry to the churches when our present ministers shall lie in the dust." And as we were thinking and consulting how to effect this great work, it pleased God to stir up the heart of one Mr. Harvard, a godly gentleman and a lover of learning there living among us. And he gave one half of his estate, that being a total of 700 pounds, toward the founding of a college and all of his library. After him, another gave 300 pounds. Others after them cast in more, and the public hand of the state added the rest. And with those words, Harvard University was founded by Mr. Harvard, by another man that gave 300 pounds, by others that gave, and then by the hand of the state helped found Harvard. What was their founding statement? What was their concern? It was, "We longed for and looked after to advance learning and perpetuate it to our posterity, dreading that the ministers that would soon lie in the dust, that generation of pastors that would pass on from the scene, might leave behind an illiterate ministry in the church's pulpit." So the state and Mr. Harvard and others made sure that Harvard University would be founded. Another university stated as its founding mission, "Wherein youth may be instructed in the arts and sciences, and through the blessing of Almighty God may be fitted for public employment, both in the church and in the civil state." Yale University, where I happen to have attended. Just kidding. Thought I'd throw that out there. That's not true. Why would you laugh when I say that? That hurts. That hurts a lot. Then the powerfully very succinct mission statement of Princeton University. Princeton University, one simple statement, and it's so powerful. "Cursed is all learning that is contrary to the cross of Christ." And you read these and you wonder, what on earth happened? But if the salt loses its saltiness. See, it's true of any organization. The danger to it is many times it'll be founded on a really good idea, especially when we talk about spiritual things, eternal things, and you look back to its history, and it's very easy for people in generations to come to just want to blow that off. And we see that in the scriptures in Israel of the Old Testament, and we see it in our Harvards and our Yales and our Princetons. We see it in a lot of organizations. It's always a danger for a church. Matter of fact, a lot of people probably really don't capture it this way, but did you notice in the Sermon on the Mount as Jesus opens with the Beatitudes, and by the way, that is going to be our study in the several months to come. That's our series simply called The Sermon, and we're going to dissect and I think enjoy that series together in 2011, starting 2 weeks from today. But if you notice, you get through the Beatitudes, and then Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth," and then he says, "You are the light of the world," and in both instances, he gives you an affirming description of who you are. He affirms us that we are God's salt in the earth. We are the light of the Lord in this world. But then he follows it up with a negative. "But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden. People don't take it and what? Put it under a bowl or a bushel basket. But instead, they let their light shine so that all men will see their good deeds and praise their Father in heaven." But in both instances, he gave them the affirming picture of who they are, and he followed it up with a warning. The light can't be put under a bushel. Salt cannot lose its savor. The Message Bible always helps us because a guy named Peterson wrote it. And so let's look at this together. I'd like to meet Eugene. I think the guy's brilliant. But I love the way he captured it. Look in your outline. It's there for you. Let me tell you why you are here. Evangel, CBC student, MSU student, retiree, all of us today. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to look at it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. That's a great rendering. We're God's colors. We're God's flavors. Central Assembly, much like a Harvard or Princeton and Yale, we have an institutional nature to us. We're not a new church plant. We're one of the first church plants in the Assemblies of God. And so when we look today at our history, we have to realize we have the same danger as these great institutions, as any church does, as any entity does, that we get along the way. And for us, it's now over 100 years that this church has existed. That predates all of us here today, I think. We're really close. And I can't help believe in the same way that someone along the way of Harvard and someone along the way of Yale, and someone along the way of Princeton, and someone along the way of so many of our great universities, institutions, they are going to stand before God one day, and he's going to ask them, did you ever read the original mission statement of this place? How did you allow it to go the way that it went under your leadership? Same is true for us today as a church. And so I want to come to you as I will every year, and in January, the first Sunday possible, I'm going to bring you a message that is for, if you're our guest today, this is not a normal sermon, okay? We're talking about who we are and where we're going as a church today. To look back just a year ago or so, we see a lot of change at Central. Matter of fact, a very long-term friend and member and leader of Central, a man by the name of Dr. George Wood. Have you ever heard of George Wood? He stole your pastor. All of you that do not have any bitterness in your heart, raise your left forefinger. All of you that are still working through bitterness, raise all of your hands and wave them greatly. Okay. And then you stole a pastor from Arizona, where it's really warm, I might add, right now. And I'd humbly to ask you to pray today, because they almost 1 year chronologically just beyond you, they are almost in the same position, and they're looking right now, and they're trying to find the pastor to steal from another Assembly of God church. Don't we have a great ecclesiastical order as a church? Don't you love it? It's crazy. But seriously, you've gone through a lot of change. And trust me, we've gone through a lot of change. And Jim and Sandy Bradford have gone through a lot of change. It's just been change, change, change. How many of you love change? But I want to note something, and I don't want you to soon forget this, but we owe a debt of gratitude to Pastor Tom and Pastor Mike and Pastor Laura Lee and to an entire staff that in the interim period at Central, they did a wonderful job pastoring and ministering to you during that time. Amen. First, we need to look back today, and looking back, we see something that I often is referred to as church's DNA. It's just something that runs in our veins, just like it does in our bodies and these just physical, mental, spiritual bodies and natures that we have. We are woven, that incredible genetic structure that makes us who we are. Every church has the same thing. That's why a brand new church planted in 1998 or in year 2005 or our great church plant emphasis we have as a movement right now, those churches will be very unique to Central. They will not have the history of Central. They will have a very different strategy and just because the DNA will be unique because of the time in which they are being founded now. But every church has this. And it's unique and it's God-given and it's from our beginning. But you know what? It formulates still who we are today. And it still weaves through us all the way to who we'll be tomorrow. And I believe today, in the same way that David says, oh God, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, I believe we need to look in the same way at the body of Central Assembly, and we need to say, God, we praise you because it was fearfully and wonderfully made a little over 100 years ago, and there's a DNA that God placed within us, and it's still there. And we can celebrate it today. As I sat after 7 months of being here and thought, what am I allowed to challenge and throw out to the church after 7 months? Because I know I have to earn your trust. And it's really a vice versa thing. We've had a courtship. It's time to move on. Let's move into what God has for us. But I realized as I looked at it, we have to look back. We have to understand our foundation. We have to look at the DNA. Who are we? How did God create and birth at Central? And there are just a few things that have been very apparent to me in 7 months. One of them is the rich spiritual heritage that we have. And I have it in my own life, and as I grow older in life, I look back. We sat and watched family videos with my parents one night over break there in Arizona, where it's really warm. And we just enjoyed the night together. But I look there, and the older I get, I look back, and I thank God even more now for that upbringing that I had. I thank God for Olney, Illinois, when I remember, and we talked about it, how the little Sunday school class met in the little foyer of that tiny little white church, and literally we took a curtain and we ran it on a rod, and that's what divided the adults from the children. About 8 kids and however many children and adults that there were, and that was church, and I thank God it's a blessing to have that a heritage in my life. Central Assembly is the same. Our blessing is our heritage we have. The people that have come long before any of us here. Oh, what a great heritage we have. Second is multi-generational worship. I'll talk more about this in a minute, but that's very unusual today. It's becoming almost extinct in many circles. It's either you're young or you're old and you're not in between, trying to gather and pull this thing together. And the amazing thing about Central is we have here literally on any given Sunday morning, families will walk in and literally there will be 4 generations that walk through the door at the same time. That is pretty unusual today. In some instances, we have a few. I think there's a 5th generation in that nursery right now. That's phenomenal. And that's a wonderful thing that we hold today. Third, I realize in our DNA, we have active and retired ministers here. And this is our privilege. And I have been so blessed to realize that many of the children right now in Kids Church or those that are in the nursery or the preschool or our young people or many of the spouses that are here on a given weekend, the spouse is out ministering and we're their church. That's an honor. And beyond that, I look at many of you, names and people that I have revered and honored, and I've left here multiple times in 7 months and said, God, what a privilege to get to sit here with Lauren Triplett and just to get to pray with that man a few Sunday nights ago. He's a godly, wonderful man. And I realize walking out the door, he needs a pastor. A man that led us in missions for years, he needs a pastor. I get to be that pastor. It's a privilege to have you here that are active and retired ministers today. We have our AG schools and the faculty and the students. All summer long, the staff kept saying, wait till all the students arrive. Wait till all the... And there was just a buzz around the office. And all the students that are here, all I can say is, we love having you here. And you bring a dynamic to us, but also faculty, how honored we are that we get to have all, not only our AG schools, but as well, Drury and MSU, students and faculty that attend here, how blessed we are. And that is part of our opportunity, because every teacher knows that they are investing in the next generation. And what a great opportunity we have at Central. And the last area is the area of the Grant Beach neighborhood as our Jerusalem. And I would dare say there might have been a season at Central that wouldn't even made the top 5. It might have been down number 8, number 10, number 12, but it's one of my top 5. Because each one of these are who we were yesterday and who we are today and who will be tomorrow. And that's why I believe our focus really today, it shouldn't be on history. It needs to be on DNA, and there's a difference. If we focus on history, and if our whole heart is history and just retaining history, we will lose our history. We will have no tomorrow. We'll have no today. But if we celebrate our DNA and realize it's the unique way that God formed us and shaped us 100 years ago right into this day of 2011, and we celebrate that and we use it for the glory of God, I really believe that is what will bring Him the most honor and the most praise. And we steward it. What is stewardship? Webster says it's the careful, responsible management of something that's been entrusted to you. And so as much as we steward our past, remembering it and honoring it, We have to steward our present and our future, or we will dishonor our past. So today matters, and tomorrow matters, as well as yesterday. It's much like Paul said to the Corinthians. He said that we all build upon someone else. And there's a man that plants and a man that waters. But Paul reminded us, God is the one who makes it grow. And so no one, we often talk of the self-made man. There is no such thing ever in history. Everyone relied on someone. Everyone had a mother. Could I hear any man this morning? Do I need to biologically, physiologically explain that principle? But see, we're all here because of someone. We're all here, and we build upon someone. And no matter what it is that we construct, the amazing thing is we end up handing it to someone. Everyone is forced to do this. And so as a church, as we look at our DNA, look at our past, we realize we are building upon the foundation of others. And the difficult thing is in this day of past, present, future, as we are caught in this thing, there is an amazing thing called change, and it's a constant today. Very few things are just settling at all. Have you noticed that? It's just constant, perpetual change in our world, and there's the church. And we have to figure out how to handle that change and how to be true to our history and true to our present and look into our future together for Him. So I've decided to take it according to our core values today. I just want to throw out several things for 2011 as we continue to focus upon grow, beginning with being generous-hearted, being generous-hearted. How many of you enjoyed the giving, as we looked at the video a minute ago, the giving of 1,500 presents and all of the teachers, 180 teachers? How many of you, that just warmed your heart in the last couple of months? Hadn't it been fun? And as the families came through, I mean, there was such a delight as the night the Thanksgiving meals went out. And it was so well organized. Pastor Laura Lee and her group, just, it was so well done. Pastor David, it was just amazing. And as everyone looked, you could just sense there was such a joy. You know why? Because we were giving. The most miserable people on the earth live life like this. And the happiest people on earth, even if they don't have much, but are the ones that live life like this. And then God just keeps replenishing and they just keep giving. A generous heart. Stories rolled in. We had cards that came through. One lady after the Thanksgiving baskets, bless her heart, she sent me a card. If I remember right, I think it was either a $5 or I think it might have been a $10 bill was stuck to the card. She just wanted to thank us and pay us back somewhat. I wanted her to keep that $10, didn't you? But she was so thankful for it. One lady told that she had gone to get her hair done, and here was this little girl there, and she overheard the little girl saying to someone, I received a gift card for Christmas at school from a church. And so this lady in our church walked over and said, well, where do you go to school? And she said, Pipkin Middle School. And she said, well, I attend Central, and so I'm part of the church that we gave that. And the girl was just delighted. And she said, I've never had something like that I could just spend on myself. And so the woman said, well, what did you do? Then what did you buy? And she said, oh, I didn't buy anything for myself. It gave me the opportunity. I got to buy something for my mommy and my dad. And so she used that gift card. And the lady said, can I give you a hug? And they stood there. How many know those places are creepy to begin with, where women get their hair done, you know? But here they are standing there in the middle of all that hair on the floor and whatever. And they just put their arms around each other, and she said, and the woman caught me between service. She was in the early service today, and she said, Jeff, she said, I'm determined to find that little girl's name, and I want to follow her up, and I want to pray for her and care for her. But she said, that little girl just opened up her arms, just, she was so thankful. And then she told her, will you please thank your church? So on behalf of that little girl from across the street, I want to thank you that you made a little girl's Christmas. The first thing today, obviously, is our continuing of community engagement. And Central Assembly, we have to realize without question, those schools of Pipkin, Reed, Weaver, Boyd, and all the parents attached, and all the neighbors that live near them, they are our Jerusalem. And those in them that are poor in material fashion, they are our poor. They're not the government's poor, and they're not the state of Missouri's poor. They're our poor. The principle of Proverbs and throughout the Word of God, James chapter 1, you want to get a person that is truly religious in the way that God wants us to be, is that we care for widows, that we minister to the poor around us. That is the heart of God. Proverbs says that when we give to the poor, we are lending to the Lord. And so the poor among us are our poor. And the lost among us are our lost. Generations prior that have come and gone can't reach Grant Beach neighborhood today. They can't, but we can. And we're responsible. We steward a mission field all around us. And as we look at those that are plunged in darkness and they don't know tomorrow from today and they're confused, they don't know how to sort through life, they're our lost that we are to be helping and shine light and salt into their world so that they may see our Heavenly Father and praise Him. It's not about us because it's about Him. Another area for us being generous this year is to continue that, but certainly the area of early childhood ministries. And it's a priority for 2011. It has to be. Pastor Justin, the early time I was here back in May and June, when we sat, he said, can I just kind of share with you my heart? And Justin, who does a wonderful job with our kids, he said, these are the areas of need. We need to address these things. And we've just begun down that road. One of the areas was our check-in system. Parents here, you know what I'm talking about. But just getting our children checked through. Many of you thought that the younger families, they were just late getting to church. They weren't late getting to church. It was taking them 23 minutes to get through the line to get their kids to where they need to be and to be back here. The whole system. And so in late 2010, we bought a computer system that's going to be incredible. And it's being rolled out right now by Pastor Justin and Carter. And it's coming. And then beyond that, I worked so diligently to lay out all of that and to paint all of that before we left for Phoenix. Worked my tail off. Isn't it beautiful out there? Again, you just laugh out loud at me. That hurts. You know what Pastor Justin did? He went to a wonderful company, said, this is the vision. We'd like to take these walls right here. We want parents to walk in and know right where to go with their children. We want to have the computer terminal set up, and within about a month, they will be self. They'll just be able to self-register their kids, get them in so in and out so quickly. Wonderful. Justin went, the bid came back, and we said, what do you want to do? And we did it ourselves, and we saved over $30,000. So when you see Justin, slip him a five. Could he hear an amen? But say, thank you, Justin. Did a beautiful job. And the whole heart of that and beyond that is our kids' safety. And I right now want to thank, I want to thank many of you that are in adult classes that Pastor Mike and Nick began to work weeks ago, is that we have to solve an issue, is that the downstairs area needs to be just exclusively to our preschoolers, and we had all ages of adults coming and go. We need the safety. Kids need to have their own. And Justin expressed this months ago, and thank you, classes, that you were willing to move. And some of you, maybe it was hard on you, but can I say it's worth it to invest? We need to be generous-hearted toward our children. Just imagine with me, think back. How many children have come through the nurseries of Central Assembly in 100 years? How many kids? How many elementary age, junior high, high school, college? It's phenomenal to think. And don't you want to steward them today as we stewarded them in the past? And so that's what all this effort is for. And the next step is we'll have the sign-in system and process in place within the next month, although it's beginning now, but it'll be fully self-sign-in, all that. And then we've got to focus to get our nursery needs to really be touched up and improved all the way down the downstairs. Justin has a great vision for it. We need to be generous toward them. Another area of our stewardship are these wonderful facilities. And I have to admit, on a few of my tours that I took in my early days here, I asked, I want to see every storage closet. I want to see every square foot that we have, 200,000 square feet of buildings here. And as I walk through, there's stories around every building. Matter of fact, I pulled out one day, just out of a book, it fell out. Here's a picture of my own graduation. I realize I'm standing in what is now the multipurpose hall. But I was walking out of Central Assembly, 1984 in May, graduated, headed out into ministry. Some of you say, I wish you'd have never returned. But anyway, here I am. But I looked at it and I thought, look at that. There's no more of those green seats. There's no more. I remember Brother Wanamaker speaking as I attended here during some of that season of my life. But I look at it and I just think, my, what happens over a few years? But see, as we look ahead, we realize these facilities are vital to us. And one of the aspects is something that Chad one day, we went into what I would call the lower abyss of Central Assembly. And as we walked down the stairs, I literally thought Vincent Price had just joined us. His shadow was walking with us. And I mean, we went down into that basement, and all of a sudden, Chad's voice got really low and really weird, murky. It was really strange. And I was seeing shadows. I didn't know who they belonged to. And all of a sudden, I came up on it. And it was constructed in 1956, called the boiler. How many of you know what a boiler is? You Midwesterners, you know boilers. And I walked upon it, and Chad said, Jeff, we have done everything we can do for this thing. And he said, I have band-aided it. We have worked on it. In the next year, we had to discuss it as a board in November's board. What are we going to do? It has to go. It moved from coal then into, it became a gas in 1970s or so. And the bottom line is just we need to bury what I call the beast. It's the beast. There it is. Isn't it beautiful? $180,000. But don't you know we need to heat and cool that building right there? The downstairs, the first floor. That's just those two floors. We need to go beyond that. $180,000. And it needs to be the asbestos removed, the new ceiling, the paint, the carpet, the lighting, all of that for those two floors. Really need to go beyond that. But initially, we have to get those covered. Thankfully, we have about $100,000 toward that. But in February, our focus is going to be, we're going to bury the beast. And everybody said, amen. How many of you love heat and cooling? Amen. So that'll be our focus. But follow me. While we are generous, and it's been my heart, my entire ministry, I love missions. We have a heart for missions here. And while we are so generous that we are able to give, as I've seen in the year that in the 7 months I've been here, we give and we make sure churches are erected all over the world. Can I tell you something? We have to steward our own too. We have to take care of this as well. The healthier we are, the healthier they will be, because we'll be able to give and continue the great legacy we have of missions giving. So we have to care for our own buildings as we build buildings all around the world. So we want to bury the beast. Number two is relationally connected. It's part of our core values to be relationally connected. I just have one area I want to talk to you about this morning. I could talk a long time on it. And that is multi and intergenerational ministry. And I honestly believe this is a niche and something that God can use Central Assembly, not just for our community, but literally really for our movement if we will capture this. It's so important. The church is divided today. One of the days on my trip, I was returning a phone call, and this man's not in Arizona, he's not in Missouri, he's elsewhere, somebody have got church, and I it's one good thing about cell phones, you can see how long was that message or that phone conversation. It was 38 minutes, and I didn't say a word, and how many know that's very unusual? That's very unusual. I just listened for 38 minutes. A man in his early 70s, pouring his heart out. His health is not good. And basically, it was his questions, his concern, his heart, his frustration. The church all around him is changing so much. He doesn't feel he has a place in his own church that he's given so much to through the years. And my heart just broke for him, but I'm telling you, it's a common thing today. And if a church has any kind of history at all, then this is a real challenge for us. But it's nothing new. And hear me, Central Assembly, we can be an example of a church that doesn't get stuck in yesterday to where it has no relevance to today, but doesn't only address today to where it has nothing to do with yesterday. And we can be a church, I believe, that honors the past, that stewards the present, as well as moving us into our future. Although I must say, it takes great intentionality. As I talked to Sharon on the way in this morning, just to see how things have been. I've been there to pray and be with Dan and Teresa. The minute we got home, went the next morning. Loved that family very much. And all the way in, Sharon was just telling me the story of her mom's home going yesterday. And something within me, at one point I just said, Sharon, you know, I had tears in my eyes just hearing her tell the story. And understanding, follow me. Young people here hear me. Every generation's done this. C.S. Lewis called it chronological snobbery. And that is that all we do is focus about us. It's me. We know what's best. We know, and it's all about us. And that can happen to the older generation, and it can happen to the youngest generation, everything in between. And here, so it's not new. And the Bible addresses it. Here's what God's Word says. It says that we are to look at those that are older women to be like our mothers. And those that are younger women are to be like our sisters in all propriety and purity. In ministry. And we're to look at those that are our older men. They're to be like fathers to us. And the young men are to be like brothers. And so what do you get? You get a picture of the household of God. I celebrate the idea that all generations walk into this church. I want that. Don't you? But you know what? In order for that to happen, we have to be focused on the other generations. Say, which generation is that? Well, it's the one that you're not a part of. That's the other generation. Boy, that was powerful. I went to Yale. That's how I figured that out. So I have a question for you today. As we look around in our neighborhood, as we look around at the people that come here, and you see all ages, etc., can I just ask you, are you willing to want all generations to be here. And it's going to take three things. It's going to take an intentionality on our part. It's going to take a commitment on our part. And it's going to take understanding. And these three ideals are vital. It'll never happen if we're not intentional about it, if we're not committed to it, and we're not willing to say, Lord, help me to understand how an 80-year-old can join hands with a 25-year-old and worship together. I believe we can. It will make us unique, and we are. I've had multiple people, my age and younger, in our 7 months here that said they relish worshiping next to people that are their grandparents' age. We want that. Not every church does. We want that. But it's going to take intentionality, it's going to take commitment, and it's going to take us wanting to gain understanding. A third area quickly is outward focused. We want to be generous-hearted, we want to be relationally oriented in our relationships, and we want to be outwardly focused. And this is exciting. Just a few weeks ago, there was a couple that met me at the door right here, and I mean, they were beaming, they were flying, and they may be here right now. They were just flying high. And he said to me, I sat in church and I looked from the side at a woman and I knew I recognized, I didn't know for sure who she was. And he studied her and studied her. He kept thinking, where have I seen her? Where have I seen her? I know that woman. And finally, when church was over, he went to her. And when she turned around, he realized she's from his adopt-a-block. He's knocked on her door so many times. She may be here this morning. We are so glad that you are here. And that morning, as she just kind of kept her coat on, and he said, I didn't know how comfortable she felt, but I was so thrilled she was here. And then they hugged, and he brought her out. He introduced her to me, and then he said, I'm taking her now to show her around. He was just so excited. I have a question for you. As we changed the oil yesterday of 32 women's cars, the guys went till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's much longer. And Bruce Snavely and all of those guys, God bless you guys for getting out there and doing that. Oh, you're salt and light in your world. You know what? If we had a few more men here yesterday, all you have to do is turn the wrench, drain the oil, take out the filter, put the filter on, and plug it up and fill some more oil in there. It's really all that it is. And you know what? They could have been out of here by their normal 12:30, but for some reason in the cold, it just took time. How many would like to see those guys get under shelter, by the way? That's my vision as I walked around, but that's from down the road. Anyway, but I'd love to see them do it in the warmth a little bit this time of year. But think of the women that they touched, 32 ladies yesterday. As we look at Adopt-A-Block, as we look at our Celebrate Recovery, as we look at MOPS, MOPS is incredible at Central. Gals, thank you for making MOPS what it is. As we look at the seasonal giving, the spin after school program, the food pantry with Dar Matrone and the choir every other Thursday, feeding 200 families that come through every single month, twice a month. As we look at these ministries, and I would say, look at that and consider, how might you get involved? Because it's amazing how many lives you can touch right through these ministries here. They're moving outside of our walls. It's wonderful. But I have a question for you. Do you want to just be kind to these people? Or do you want them to worship with us? There's a big difference. Matter of fact, that's the reason earlier I had you change seats. Some of you are so stubborn, you're still sitting in that same seat. God's going to come to you tonight in your sleep. He's going to talk to you about it. But honestly, from your vantage point now, are you hearing me okay? Can you enjoy worship the same? Are you willing to give that? Say, we had a young couple that joined a membership. They're in their late 20s, I would say. And they joined as members a few months back. And the day of membership Sunday, they decided to move from the balcony down below and just to really get with the spiritual people. And as they, oh, I'm just kidding. Some of you think that way. I know. Oh, I love all of you. But they came down and they sat there, and an older gentleman came in and he just stood and looked at him. And finally they said, is everything okay? And he said, well, you're in my seat. So they had to move from his seat. I'd like to inform that gentleman, it ain't his seat. That's from Yale. It ain't his seat, okay? Your seat's not your seat. Amen. But seriously, are you willing to give up your seat? Say, well, I'll go elsewhere. No. Just shift over, but let someone have your seat. We want everybody to be here, but I'd ask you, do we only want to be kind to them, or do we want them to enter in and worship with us? That is a fundamental question. I don't know about you, but I'm thrilled that woman was here that morning. That's exciting. And we want to be kind. We want to bless. We want to minister. But also we want them to come and hear the word of God and to hear the gospel and to worship with us, don't we? So let's shift over, because you know what? It's not your seat any more than the air you breathe is not your air, and the car you drive is not your car, and the body that you live and operate in is not your body. And all of it returns back to the Lord in the end, because you don't own a thing. You steward everything. And so when we look at this buildings and these seats, really what we need to do is consecrate. I say this carefully. We need to consecrate our seats to the Lord. Could I hear any man this morning? Some of you didn't even follow that, but that's all right. Again, the question needs to be settled in our hearts of those that come through our doors, because there's all walks of life. It's amazing. And do you want to not only consecrate our seats, but as well to be able to be welcoming and prepared for people when they come in? Matter of fact, someone shared something with me just this week, and I just want to give it as a concept. But think about it. If all of us would jump onto this, it's simply 10, 10, 10. 10 minutes early to church. For some of you, that will shake the earth to be 10 minutes early anywhere. But to come with an intentionality of why you're here early. Come 10 minutes early, spend those 10 minutes, and you greet everyone within 10 feet of you all the way through the door. Hi, 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 hi. You shake it. You just greet 10 feet of you. Now think about it. If all of us did this, not just 23 of us, not just 74 of us, but everyone. You come 10 minutes early with a reason, a purpose. And then you go, and within 10 feet of you, everywhere you go to the restroom, you are just greeting people, saying hello to everybody, all the way through. And then when service is over, you purpose 10 minutes to remain. 5 of those minutes, you are looking to just connect with someone that you don't know, find out who they are, truly get to know what their background is. And then the other 5 minutes, you think about, how can I connect them to Central? Be thinking of classes, be thinking of individuals. There may be someone that walks by. I do this all the time, that you're trying to make a connection. Hey, that person would be great for them to meet and connect and talk about life and spiritual things with, whatever. 10, 10, 10. Come 10 minutes early. Take those 10 minutes, and everyone within 10 feet of you, greet them. And then afterwards, look to connect with one person and try to get them connected with others here. That could revolutionize Central Assembly, especially if everybody was willing to do it. Second thing here is to open our doors. And I'd like Emily Stender to come down, if you would, Emily. Emily is wonderful, works under Pastor Laura Lee in our connections department, has such a passion. She is such a sharp young lady, doing a great work. And I asked her to just take a few minutes to talk about a vision we want to expand in this new year, if you would. Give Emily a hand, if you will. Yes, you
hey. Thanks. I love the warm reception of the father in Luke 15 who sees his son who's still a far way off and he's approaching. And what does the father do? He runs to him. He throws his arms around him. He robes him and he invites him in to a feast, a celebratory feast in his honor. We are the extension of the father's extended hands, and we must communicate the openness of that invitation. We must communicate that extravagant love and grace. We are all responsible for this. And our greeters, they're the first layer in this. But if they don't kick in, the other layers aren't going to be much use. See, because a first impression is determined in that first 7 minutes. So we got to get them at the doors with that warmth. And the greeters are there, first layer, extending a warm welcome. And I have 3 greeters to my left who are just outstanding, and they get the mission. And so I want to ask them a few questions. Steve and Carrie Young were new just a little over 6 months ago, and right away jumped in, and you could see them on the Boonville doors outside. What a vision from the street to see those doors opening, talking about open doors, seeing a face there to receive you. So I want to ask Steve, you are new here. Why get involved in the greeter ministry of all the things that you could get involved in?
It was probably our third Sunday here that we were attending, trying out, seeing what Central was like. And as we were leaving the parking lot from across the street and getting ready to cross over the street, I happened to see the family that adopted the triplets. And they were coming up to the doors with their hands full of the children, their diaper bags and everything else they were trying to carry. And it was actually a day very much like today. It was very cold that day. And there was no way I could get there in time to help open the doors for them. So I was relieved to see someone actually come and open the doors for them. But the particular person that opened that door was another mother who was carrying a child in her right hand in one of the carriers. And then her left hand was holding the hand of one of her two or three children. I don't remember which it was. And she was leading them up to the doors. She was the one that actually opened the door so this other family could get in with their children. And I knew right then that if we chose Central as the church that we were going to go to, that that was something that we would have to make a difference in.
Thanks. Praise God for people who see a need and jump in and say, I have the gift of friendliness. I'm going to get involved. Here's Carrie, Steve's beautiful wife. And I want to ask you, Carrie, what is rewarding? What is some of the rewards that you have being involved in this ministry?
I remember not too long ago when our family was visiting Central for the very first time and how intimidating it really was for us to walk up to this grand structure here on the Boonville side. And so really the rewards for us is knowing that when we go outside and greet on the outside of those doors, it does bring a warmth to the building. And just for that person who's making that initial step into these church doors. And then also when you greet on the outside like that, it's letting them know there's prospect for relationship here. And so that is very rewarding for us.
Appreciate you guys. Chase Replogle, he's on staff. He's on the communications team, and he creates some amazing pieces for us. Central at a Glance, that's in front of your hymnals, in front of you, and the website. He's such a talented guy. And so I want to ask you, Chase, why get up early in the winter, put on your big coat, and stand outside freezing for an hour?
Well, obviously, the biggest part of that is to be that first impression for people that are coming in and make sure that Central feels like a welcome place for them. But personally, when I was deciding to get involved, I wanted to find a ministry on Sundays that would be a reminder to me that Sundays aren't just about me. It's so easy to come on a Sunday morning and want the songs that you like to sing to and to hear the sermon you like and to go feeling like you've received something and you've worshiped. But I've been thinking, you know, God calls us not just to worship individually, but he calls us to worship in a community, in a body with one another. And I realized that I wasn't really worshiping until I came on a Sunday and was giving to somebody else. That was what true worship was, to experience it in community. And so there weren't a lot of people jumping in to hold doors in the winter. And I thought this is a great way to sacrifice, to make sure that I remember that Sundays are about us being together as a community, not just me getting what I want out of it.
Now, we represent just a few of the hundreds of volunteers that are involved in a first impression team. So what I want you to do, I want you to stand. If you're involved, you've helped as an usher, a greeter in the Welcome Center, in one of our guest reception teams following each service. If you've helped in any capacity, you did it before, maybe you're not anymore, but you did it in the past and you're currently serving, I want you to stand up right now so we can honor you. Come on. I want to see who you are. I know you're out there. We appreciate you and your ministry, and thank you.
Thank you, Emily. Awesome. In year 2011, what I want to do is ask you to really consider being a part of being outside the doors or just inside the doors in some way connecting to our hospitality ministry. It is so important that we are welcoming a people of all walks of life, all backgrounds. We know that that's the heartbeat of the gospel, and yet our doors speak the gospel, the very first impression in those 7 minutes. And so I really want to encourage you toward that. Quickly, let's move to number four, and we'll be done today. And that is the area of being worship-centered. And there are two things on my heart for this as we come to the close of this message this morning, but to be worship centered. The first one is every generation praying, and the second one is every generation fasting. And I'll just start with the second there, fasting. I've called a 21-day fast starting tomorrow through the end of the month from the 10th to the 31st, and want to encourage you to join us in this. Now, it might be that you fast one day a week. It might be that you're already ready for the Daniel fast and you're going 3 full weeks on it. It might be that you're going to choose certain meals in the week. It might be that you're fasting. As one person said to me, I'm fasting TV for 3 weeks. I wasn't personally able to do that because of the playoffs, but I would in the future if I could. But I encouraged them. I said, that's awesome. I think you should do that. I will let you know what's happening with the Bears. But anyway, but seriously, social media, it can be to turn off the TV. Any fasting, the word means to afflict yourself. It has to do with an affliction, that we give up something that hurts. It costs us. That's why especially food and water, many times to fast, to fully fast can really be difficult, but it's that we have the right focus. So there in your outline, there are seven reasons that we've given you again. What are reasons for you to fast? There's also a little link there to a 21-day devotional, and I'd encourage you to go there this week and start tomorrow morning and add a devotional element to it. Multiple ways you can fast. We've talked about it in the last few weeks. But every generation means young families here. I want to encourage you to teach your children about fasting right now. That's what they did in the Jewish community throughout millenniums now. And I would encourage you to let your children understand they can fast along with you. Do it wisely. Be careful with it. But at least in some little way, you know, make them eat their green beans and just drink water for a meal. Wouldn't that be awesome, huh, parents or whatever? I don't know. But I encourage you to let your children learn what it is to afflict themselves in a minor way so that they can begin to focus on God. And we give you those seven ideals. Fasting. It's important because next Sunday, as a work of the Holy Spirit, I'm sure many of you, Tim Inlow's been here before. I've had Tim many times there in Mesa. He ministers the gifts of the Holy Spirit such a beautiful way, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just a refreshing experience in the Holy Spirit. That's what's next Sunday, and Sunday night is all about. Monday night to be a healing, a week from tomorrow night, a healing service. It will be an awesome way to begin our year. But if we are fasting in the next week, God's going to do more next week. There is a power to fasting and prayer, and it's not a diet. Amen? It's not a diet, it's fasting. There's a big difference, so I encourage you toward that. Every generation praying, and I'm going to close. Matter of fact, Pastor Tom, if you'd like to come to the piano, that'd be fine, and we'll close. What do I mean by this? Well, in my early time here, it didn't take within just a couple of months that I had the same comment from several people about Wednesday night. And they said that they really didn't feel they had any place to go on Wednesday night. And they're people typically about my age, in their 40s or 50s. And they said, well, the prayer service is more for the older generation, musically and otherwise. And then New Community, they knew they really didn't belong there. And I remember going to Pastor Mike and asking him, well, tell me about New Community. And so we've had dialogue on this throughout for some time now. Pastor Don and I, especially in recent weeks, have been really dialoguing on our Wednesday nights and what we need to do. We want every generation praying. All of you that are 60 and older, don't you want the 40-year-olds praying with you? And for New Community, Mike has said, it's not closed off to 40 and younger or 30 and, you know, 20s and 30s only. He said, I'd be open. We'd love to have. And yet many feel. So I just want you to know, you have an open invitation. You've got two great options on Wednesday nights. We can come to the prayer service or you can go to New Community, and it's open to all of you. The one thing on the prayer service side is that we're going to, over the course of the next few weeks and months, we're going to just adjust the music a little bit in order to open it up. We'll still do hymns. We'll still have wonderful worship times. But we want to make sure that a 45-year-old says, I want to go in there and pray and intercede and sing. And so we're going to adjust it a little bit and open it up. Because you know what? We need every generation praying. If we do not do this, we could have an older generation pass from the scene. And there will be the middle generation right now won't even know how to be a part of a prayer service. Again, I encourage you to be here tonight. You'll be part of a powerful prayer service tonight. I encourage you on Wednesday nights to come out, but we're going to work on that. And we want every generation praying. We want every generation fasting because we want this church to be in tune with God. Amen? Man, would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? It's almost noon. This is a vision message. Tonight is critical to this. We're going to pray for our finances. We're going to pray that we can bury that beast. We're going to pray over spiritual hunger. We're going to pray for the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray over our college students. We're going to pray for every AG school tonight as Bob Cook will come and minister and pray and lead us in that. We're going to pray for our community. We're going to pray for our multi-generational ministries. We're going to pray for Central Assembly. Please come out. Pray with us tonight. But beyond that, as we close today, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you one question. And we're going to close in a different fashion than we normally do. But I want to ask you today, what does God want you to do in year 2011? It might be to change oil. It might be to adopt a block. To the best of my knowledge, and as Pastor Jim Bradford said to me not long ago, he said, Jeff, I'd always hoped that adopt a block would be able to go further than it has. Well, it can. And maybe that's the area you say, Jeff, I can give one Saturday a month for about 2 hours. I can fit that into my world in order to be salt and light in the Grant Beach neighborhood. plug in, might be mops, whatever area it is, might be to be at the doors. But could I ask all of you, could we all get involved in ministry? Some of you are carrying five things here, and that's too bad. I wish you could do about two or three, and that others would come alongside of you. We have some of the most faithful people here at Central. But how about you today? Chase, who's finishing up his MDiv right now at AGTS and has such a heart for ministry, does our website, our communication tools now. But Chase says, as a young man, very busy between a job and school right now, but he said, I realize I'm just coming to church for myself. And so he's at the door now, dressed up in this weather, welcoming people every week. That's awesome. You can do something for God. Could I ask you to ask him right now as we close in prayer? Whatever he speaks to your heart, let us know. Contact us. We'll get you involved. But I want to encourage everyone to find a place in 2011. Father, thank you for blessing Central Assembly. Lord, we can walk over here to a wall in our lobby and see past pastors that have faithfully led this congregation. I thank you, Lord, for the recent years of Wanamaker and Watson and Bradford, and now the privilege Carl and I have to be here. Thank you for our staff, our support staff, our pastoral staff. Lord, thank you for our faithful leaders and teachers, those that work with our children. The nursery, they always need help. God, the early childhood ministry always need help. Every area, Lord, it's there. I pray that now you would arrest our hearts. And the reason you have gifted us is that we might serve others is very clear, 1 Peter 5. And Lord, I pray that every one of us now in evaluating our hearts, that Lord, we will step up and be part of a vision for this new year together, and that you will do your will at Central Assembly. And Father, as a pastor today, I thank you for my good friend John and for what you are doing up the road at James River Assembly, and I pray that you will bless them. God, I thank you for what you're doing at North Point. I thank you, God, for what you're doing, Lord, at Faith Assembly, at Park Crest, Lord, at 360, at all these churches around us, our AG friends. But God, we are unique as they are unique to what you've laid in the DNA of those churches. And may we steward well the DNA of Central Assembly in its past, in its present, and in its future, we pray. In Jesus' name.